Coming up, we say goodbye to college basketball, address the latest J.J. Watt retirement rumors, and when the NBA Hall of Fame comes knocking, kazam, we've got the answer. You like what I did there? Sports Weekly starts now.
You are tuned into Black Hollywood Live, Sports Weekly.
I did have this friend in the thousands.
Turn my microphone up a little bit so I can turn up. I'm about to hit a freestyle. I think I'm full. I'm about to hit a freestyle.
Turn Shaq. My man Andre up.
My boy, Big Shaq.
Kazam.
Kazam in the house. No, sir. Absolutely.
What's up,
not.
Everybody? It is Throwback Thursday, and of course, that means another episode of BHL Sports Weekly. I'm your host, Joshua Johnson. Thank you for joining us tonight. You can find me on social media at JJ the Talented. Of course, to my left, you might not recognize his face because Raina and Erica are off tonight, but we are joined by the lovely and talented Miss McCall Hall. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
What's going on, everybody? It's your girl, McCall Hall. You can check me out on social media at So McCall Hall when sports and pop culture collide.
What is up? This is your truly Mr. Andre Dean. You know what it is, man. I am Andre on Instagram, on Twitter, and everything else I really don't have. But you can find me on Facebook as well as Andre Dean.
All right. And be sure to log on to blackhollywoodlive.com. Also follow Black Hollywood Live on Twitter and Instagram at BHL Online. And follow this show, Sports Weekly, on Instagram at The Sports Weekly. That's T-H-E Sports Weekly. Make sure you give us a follow and like every single one of our pictures because we are checking for you. Let's get right into the countdown. By the way, that was Shaq.
That was Shaq. Kazam.
I should not fail to mention that was Shaq.
Make sure they understand.
He low-key did his thing, though.
He's Shaq.
Low-key.
Right? He wasn't, like, too bad.
He gave you bars.
A few bars.
And for that time period, he fit the bill.
He fit the bill. It sounded like that era.
Yeah.
It sounded like that era back in that day. You know what I mean?
All you needed was a drum.
It wasn't that great, but it sounded like the era.
I'm going to be real.
Okay, go for it.
He should have gotten a Grammy for Kazam. Single.
What?
Yeah.
Really? How do you figure?
I mean, just the
yeah, let me know.
The presence that he had, right? The performance aspect. He's 7 feet tall. And you rapping like that to a little white kid?
No.
You should have got a Grammy for that
performance.
That's
why he has
a Grammy for that performance?
A Grammy and an Oscar at the same damn time.
If you going to tell it all, young lady. Tell it all if that's how you feel.
I'm just saying.
I feel like he shouldn't have got shit. I feel like he got what he should have got.
He got what he got.
Back on the basketball court.
Well, he definitely got something. We'll definitely get into that one.
We will. But if you want to talk about awards, let's talk about the awards that were handed out last Monday. And what was it, Tuesday or Wednesday when the women played?
The women played on Tuesday, men played on Monday.
Of course, we're talking about the NCAA Final Four championship game.
Yes.
Where Nova eked it out. No, they didn't eke it out.
They didn't eke it out. Because you had to understand, they were up by 10 until that last minute and 34 of the game. Villanova was looking like the team that had everything together. And then North Carolina came back into it and made it really interesting. Honestly, I wish that we could have had two champions. Because I feel for North Carolina.
You can't.
I see what you're saying. Because it was that good of a game.
It doesn't matter if it's that good of a game. The team who has the most points when it says zero and the fourth quarter, that's always been the case. That's what wins the game.
Wait, but you got to give, first and foremost, hats off to Villanova for winning that game.
Yeah.
That was a great game. Hats off to UNC for coming back and making it a great game in the last, minute and a half.
Absolutely. I mean, look at this. Villanova had not won a championship in over 30 years. So you got to be happy for him.
You have to be.
But Roy Williams and that North Carolina team, Roy Williams came into the Final Four and said, this is the most confident I've ever been with a team going into the Final Four. And for them to lose, I hurt for him. And Michael Jordan was in the stands, and he rarely comes out.
The crying Jordan?
Man, they did my man dirty. I hate to see all
you made some of those memes. Like I know you made a meme.
I didn't. I thought about it, but I didn't because I'm a true diehard Michael Jordan fan. He is the greatest to ever touch a basketball court. I believe that's my opinion. And it was sad to see, but I think we saw what we wanted to see. It was a great national championship game with the number one and the number two seed. I mean, it couldn't have been any better. Maybe a one-point game, right? Maybe a one-point winning game, but it couldn't have been a better game if you really look at it.
That's what college basketball needed because you got to think about it. The past few years, we've had amazing teams, but they're blowing teams out, and the final game is not that interesting. It's pretty much decided within 5 minutes left in the game. This one was interesting down to the last minute.
Usually national championship games are within, I mean, you're going to, they're within 5 point, point differential.
Right.
Like, they're close games.
Right.
So,
but we haven't had a buzzer beater in the national championship.
What, since like 08? With Mario Chalmers or something?
Yeah, it's been Kansas and Memphis. Yeah, when Mario Chalmers hit that one. That's the last time we've had it.
This whole tournament has been buzzer beating.
This whole tournament has turned the NCAA tournament, like, it's made, like, for me, it's made it exciting again, because I'm not one to typically watch college basketball.
Me neither.
No.
Me
but
neither.
With all the upsets in this tournament, and with the, everything just going, like, Michigan State getting upset, that was a huge one, but there was even some before that. But what it came down to, UNC and Nova, and then most people probably expecting UNC to win it.
Yeah.
This, it just made it that much more fun to see it come down to this.
You need that. You need that. But you know what I'm so proud of? It's the fact that Villanova and North Carolina had a lot of seniors. We've been seeing, you know, the Kentuckys of the world get five freshmen that are really good and come in and blow everybody out and get a championship.
Then go to the NBA.
You know, and then go to the NBA. I'm so happy for these guys who come back year after year after year for their institution and get a championship. How can you not be happy for them? This is what college basketball is all about.
Yeah, that says a lot.
Agreed. I just love the diversity that this season showed, because originally you have the UNCs, the Dukes, the Kentuckys who win every single year, who's always in the game. So I think this year was good to see OU get in there, to see Villanova get in there, to see some of these teams that's not typically known, to see Syracuse get in there, to see these teams is not typically known to go that far and not even known for their basketball program. OU is, I mean, when you say OU, the first thing you think is football. Who would have thought that their basketball team would be so great? And I think it just kind of paves the way for next year. I'm excited. Yeah. Kind of. I think I'm going to watch next year. I'm excited.
It might make you watch a little bit more, huh?
Yeah, so absolutely.
Would you consider this, I mean, in your Final Four or college basketball watching experience, would you consider this the greatest game, the greatest championship game ever?
Yeah, well, it definitely, that final shot beats out Christian Laettner's final, or shot in 1983 when Christian Laettner.
No, after it was by like, what, 94?
Christian Laettner's shot?
Not 83.
No, not 83.
That would be,
I'm sorry,
like MJ.
Yeah, yeah. It was like 90, early 90s.
93, 94, I think.
But that was a game winning shot to go to the Final Four. This was to win the whole thing. I think it definitely ranks up there with one of the best.
And you couldn't write it any better, because not only was that last shot such a great shot, but the one before that.
Exactly.
With the double clutch.
Do you think that people will forget that shot?
Yeah.
Do you think people will forget it?
No, because you have to have that shot to set up the last shot.
You do.
Yeah, you have to mention it in the same story.
I'm just impressed, because had that been me, and I'm a basketball player, but I will confess, if somebody had hit a double clutch like that, we only have 4 seconds left, I would be a little anxious, but you could tell the young man from Villanova, he felt confident as hell.
That's when the heart starts beating, though. You get a little.
It was so funny, because they were, what I think they called him, what, big sexy or big something.
Who, Chris Jenkins, the guy who hit the shot?
Right, who hit the shot. They called him some nickname, and they were kind of mocking him a little bit during the game, saying oh yeah, we hope he makes a big sexy play, you know, and he ended up making that big sexy play. I mean, that's a big sexy play. He probably got some girls after that.
Oh, you know he did.
And then he did a chubby brother, too. He looked chubby something, ain't he?
Yeah.
No, he got
that. That didn't matter none when he hit that shot.
Nah, it didn't even matter.
I checked his Instagram. It went up by, like, you know, 200%.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
He got all the followers now.
Man, I wonder what he was at before and what he's at now.
Oh yeah,
or what he was going up for that sure shot. Yeah, you already know.
Them DMs are really going off right,
man,
now, for sure.
And you know they Snapchatting them. They Snapchatting them too.
I don't know nothing about sending them snaps.
Okay.
Well, let's go ahead.
So I just wanted to bring something up. You brought up, you know, there are teams that got into the NCAA tournament that we're not familiar with for their basketball, you know, pedigree. But there were some mid-major teams as well that I was really impressed by. Middle Tennessee State. I mean, they put up some great performances, some great upsets. You look at University of Arkansas Little Rock with a first-round upset. There were some mid-majors that came in there and really shocked everybody.
That's what I was impressed with.
Syracuse, I mean, granted, they were a 10 seed, but Syracuse has a pedigree. Jim Boeheim is a legendary coach. So even for them to make it to the Final Four as a 10 seed, I'm still not shocked, because it's in their blood.
Well, I mean, I think some people said they shouldn't have made it even the tournament, I think, right?
Because they had a suspension situation earlier in the season.
But I mean, I see what you're saying. They are a pedigree, but they they haven't been there since, what, 2003?
But you still think of Syracuse as a basketball school. I mean, and all these different schools, you know, you respect their athletic program. But Middle Tennessee State, University of Little Rock, Arkansas, I mean, like, yeah. You don't think of them for anything at all. Just a place on the map.
Yeah. So, Dre, last week we did our predictions with the other girls here. I don't remember. What did you? Do you remember what you said?
I remember what I said. I was completely wrong. I said OU and who did I pick?
OU and you must have picked who was the 14?
Syracuse.
Did you pick Syracuse?
Yeah, OU and Syracuse.
And so who'd you have winning? Oh, because we both had Syracuse winning.
Yeah, we both had Syracuse winning. We both said that it would be an upset. We both were saying like this was kind of the season of the upset, so we thought that they would do it and come out as underdogs, and we were wrong. But I mean, it is what it is. The bottom line is it was a great Final Four. It was a great championship, and I don't like to be wrong, but I was wrong on both of them.
I mean, we were both wrong.
Most of the nation was wrong. I mean, you got to understand, when Michigan State went down, 57% of the brackets were officially busted out.
Oh, yeah, brackets
State.
Were out the window.
Yeah, so,
oh,
yeah. You know, you're not alone. I'm not alone. Well, nobody's alone. I had Oregon versus Michigan State in the championship.
Oh,
I went to the University of Oregon briefly. So, you know, I'm from the Pacific Northwest. Anything Pac-12, I'm all about.
Yeah.
The Pac-12 let me down. We had seven teams in the NCAA tournament, and not one made it to the Final Four.
Yeah,
you know how mad I am right now?
Not a one.
I'm pissed. Yeah, but I had Oregon losing to Michigan State.
Yeah. Oh, that didn't happen at all.
Yeah.
And I think, and Dre, you posted on our Instagram at the Sports Weekly. You posted a little something about the prediction. And I think Raina responded saying that she got it all.
She got it all right.
We gotta verify that when we go back and look at the tape.
Last week. I think she did. Yeah, I think she got it all right, man. I think she got it all right.
Typically, this is how it goes with the Final Four and with the NCAA tournament. And this is no knock or no shade, but typically the person who knows least about basketball and sports is the one that always wins the bracket.
That happens a lot.
Very rarely do you have experts. Raina
knows a little bit about basketball.
Raina plays some college basketball and stuff. She played.
D1, so... She knows.
I'm just saying.
And she got it. But no, I see what you're saying.
But I agree with that, too, because most of the time, people who are not familiar with the game or not familiar with the if you haven't followed it, they just pick the top seeds. I mean, and typically the tops 1 and 2. You know what I mean? Those guys are the ones that's in the championship. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with you on that. People that don't know, they'll say, oh, yeah. We'll
Dick Vitale's bracket was busted from, you know, day 3.
Yeah.
And he's the expert. So typically it's the experts that always have egg on their face by the championship.
Right.
But like I said, it's no knock, no shade. I'm just making a general comment about that.
I mean, but by the nature of college basketball, it's almost like football where they say any given Sunday. Any given game, any team can win.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like that. And when you have a single elimination tournament, man, that just...
But, you know, and that's the thing about those kind of games. You know that you don't have another day. So you're going to be borderline crazy with your approach defensively, offensively. You're going to do things that you would have never thought about before because there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
So you're going to play really, really, really hard. That's what makes the NCAA so special.
Yeah, definitely special. Let's go over to the women's side. And Syracuse women were also in the Final Four and in this championship game versus UConn, who was just unbelievably dominant.
So let me just say this.
When it comes to women's college basketball. Unbelievably dominant.
Let me just say this as an alum of the University of Washington. Also the Huskies. Also a proud member of their women's basketball team. When I was playing there, we were not very good. And to see the University of Washington women's basketball program make it to the Final Four, like, I had a tear in my eye, okay? Because I remember back in the day we were getting smacked by 70 by Stanford, and here we are playing the Final Four. But I knew, no matter what, we were not going to win the whole thing because UConn is just that good.
UConn is UConn. Scary good.
Like, they are amazing. UConn.
So, Gino Auriemma has, what, 11?
11 national
championships.
Oh, my God.
And now, but here's the thing. So, what the special thing about this championship was, you can call it special, 38-0 this season.
Another undefeated season. They've had that before. That's like their sixth time, I think, doing that.
But the one thing that comes, like, that is the crown of this story is the fact that Breonna Stewart has won 4 national championships. Ever since she came in there as a freshman, she's won 4 national championships, has only lost 5 games. She's won 4 Final Four Player of the Year,
Most Outstanding Player.
And what was there was one other stat, I think. Am I missing one?
No, those were the two big ones.
She's won 3 Naismith Player of the Year awards for the entire college basketball season.
She's badass.
She is.
She's badass. She's and you know, people have this debate going on. Like, is Breanna Stewart the greatest UConn women's basketball player of all time? Statistically,
you got Diana Taurasi, you got Maya Moore.
Yes.
Who are up there. Right,
they're up there, but they have really not dominated the way she's dominated. Stewie, that's her nickname. Yeah. Stewie has dominated, right? But the knock against her is the personality piece. She's not like a Diana Taurasi. She's not like a Maya Moore. She's not personable. She's not charismatic. But she goes out there and does her job.
But she, right. She doesn't have to be. You know what I mean? Like I always say, let your playing do the talking.
Absolutely.
She's one of those girls that she goes out and she performs every single time she touches that court. So you don't need to say anything. Now, from another standpoint, from endorsements and stuff like that, you know, it may not be great because she's somebody that you best believe they're going to be knocking at her door now that she's done. You know, she's going to obviously get a chance to play in the WNBA. But that's where the majority of their money comes from is endorsements. They don't get paid a lot of money to play for the WNBA. That's what I was going to say.
So her rookie contract, so she's going to go number one. And UConn has a beautiful situation right now because their top 3 players and their seniors will probably go 1, 2, and 3. All right, their rookie contracts will not be worth more than $80,000 per year.
Well, wait a minute though. But is that they can't negotiate at least the top players in the draft, like in the NBA?
You have to accept your rookie contract. After that 3-year period, you can obviously get a max contract. But your max contract is still only going to be now the WNBA max salary is up to 122. So you can make $122,000, but you have to wait 3 years to get that. So these guys are going to walk into a situation making what, you know, everyday Joes are making.
Everyday, yeah. And that was what my statement was going to be, was the fact that after all she's accomplished in her storied collegiate career, now she's, you know, she has to face the fact that she's not going to be paid as much as the guys.
Well,
that's a whole other story.
She'll make up for it. She'll go overseas in the off season and get 6 figures easy.
But right. like Andre was saying, she has to... I think it would behoove her to develop that personality or kind of become have a good PR person to kind of get her out there and kind of develop her personality to make her more personable for those endorsements, because that's where the bulk of her dollars are going to come from.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, they'll dip her in some makeup. They'll do her hair. You know, they'll get her right. You know, the WNBA does an excellent job of trying to work with players, and they bring in the best to try to polish their look and work with their, you know, individual representation teams. But she's going to have to decide on her own that's what she wants.
That's true. That's very true.
I can put makeup on you all day.
No,
but if you don't want.
No, you can't.
You put like absolutely. A little foundation on you?
No, ma'am.
When you go on set, you put on makeup.
you do. You absolutely do. You absolutely do. But I understand what you're saying, though. It's got to be in her.
It's got to be in her. Yeah. And honestly, from what I know about her and the program, and you know, I have a lot of, you know, close colleagues and contemporaries that still work in college basketball, that's just not her. She's a kid that just loved to play basketball. Yeah. So.
But I will tell you, though, in general, I think that program, that's kind of how they're taught. Like, they're taught more so team. Like, nobody's really out there as an individual. Maya Moore, she kind of came, she was just attractive, and she came along more so once she did graduate. They were knocking at her door, you know, for endorsements, et cetera. But I think that whole team camaraderie. Mm-hmm. It's not about me. It's about the team. I think that program has really, really bought into that.
Yeah.
And I think that's why that program is so successful. And in return, look what happens. I mean, you said potentially they're going to have the number one, the number two, and the number three picks in the first 3 picks.
And that's credit to Gino.
Yeah, super successful team. Credit to Gino Auriemma.
Gino has always been, you know, by the book, no BS, we're never going to take our foot off the gas.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we know we're the best.
Yeah.
He holds them at a whole nother level. I'm telling you, like, I went to Cancun when I was in college. We played in a tournament against UConn. And we were clowning around. And we're the worst team in the tourney. And we're breaking curfew. I mean, his girls are in there in study hall, going and getting their, you know, ice and all that. I mean, they're just very disciplined.
We'll see. That's how you win, you know, multiple national championships.
Yeah, that's why we ain't winning.
It'd be like that. It'd be like, at least you know.
Hey.
At least you know.
I had fun.
Right, you had fun. That's all that matters.
So it'll be definitely exciting to see where she goes moving forward, because definitely, the argument is there for her to be the best women's college basketball player of all time.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, she'll have a nice setup. So the Seattle Storm have the number 1 pick in the WNBA draft. And, you know, being from Seattle.
They still have Sue Bird?
Yeah, so Sue Bird is still playing, but she'll probably retire soon. Lauren Jackson just retired. But, you know, I used to work for the Seattle Storm. I'm from Seattle. And they have a great ownership group, a great fan base. They're really going to embrace her, and they'll understand the kind of caliber player she is. So she'll have a wonderful professional experience. I'm glad she's not coming to a city like L.A., because this city would eat her up.
Well, how so?
Yeah.
Because we just said, like, she doesn't like makeup, and she's not into all that Hollywood
but,
stuff.
But she can play. And she can play. The city of L.A. definitely needs some winning on the basketball
end. Some excitement.
But yeah. I think she could go play for the
Lakers right now.
Yeah, we'll take her. We'll take her.
They need somebody.
I'll let you have that point.
They need somebody.
Yeah.
We need somebody.
Shout out to D'Angelo Russell.
Oh, my God.
Actually, no, don't tell him nothing. Oh. No shouts.
Hold on, he just hit me up on the text.
He said
Colin Kaepernick should take the money.
Take the money.
What you think, Dre?
Man, speaking of Colin, good old Kaepernick, a frat brother of mine. Shout out to the noobs. Absolutely.
Ski-yo.
Absolutely. So he's kind of up in the air. He's a free agent right now. He's kind of up in the air. Well, he's not a free agent, not yet. But he's close to it. They've already pretty much said that they're going to release him. They're trying to just figure out where he's going to go. But they owe him. He's guaranteed $11.9 million right now. He's guaranteed that from the 49ers. So wherever he goes, they have to pay him that 11.9 that he's guaranteed. So what they're saying is San Francisco is, Denver is saying, we'll take him, but you guys got to help us foot that bill.
Yeah.
They're talking about either splitting it or doing something so they won't have to come off the entire 11.9 before they even talk contracts.
But it would be a trade deal, right? It wouldn't be something like, It has to be a trade because he's still in the contract with the 49ers.
So I'm not sure. It hasn't been a whole lot of talk about the players, Denver trading anybody to the 49ers for him. What they're saying is if they are to pay that 11.9, they can buy him out of that contract. You see what I mean?
But Denver's not willing to pay the 11.9.
But they're not willing to pay
the 11. They either want to split it with San Francisco.
Or they just may wash their hands from Colin Kaepernick in general. So my question is, wow, I mean, where can you see him playing? Where else can you see Kaepernick playing? I know he's going to play somewhere, or do you think that he may not? What do you think?
Well, let's just be clear. I'm a little confused because the way it goes in the NFL, if they keep you on, they have the option to release him. Okay, typically with an ownership group, they're going to keep you on the team because they don't want you to walk away and they walk away with nothing, right? So they made sure that he was on the roster after, I believe it's March something rather, is the deadline. So he made the roster for that date.
He's working out, training with the team, that guarantees his money.
Right.
If the 49ers didn't want him, why did you guys keep him on the roster? All you had to do was release him. So I'm a little bit confused with that.
But if they release him, he still owed the 11.9.
They wouldn't have owed him the money.
No, that doesn't make sense.
That's the thing. It's a roster. His contract is guaranteed as long as he makes the roster. If you do not make the roster, you do not get paid. Look up the structure of his contract. His contract was not player friendly.
I would argue to say that it's Colin Kaepernick. But, I mean, you can possibly trade. You can get something.
No, I know.
For him.
You could definitely get something.
You know what
for
I mean?
Him, but
so,
he's but the contract you guys drew up for him was done at a time when he was a lot better. I'm not going to disrespect the man. He's going through a little something. They structured a contract for him when he was playing at a much higher level. Now, you're thinking about it, who's going to pay that much money for him?
I mean, you never know. I mean, that's the thing. Because
he's not worth it. His market rate is not accurate anymore. He's really at a $3 to $4 million caliber quarterback salary.
He is, and that's what everybody is saying. They're like, look, if
and that's hard to trade.
It's very hard to trade, but at the same time, it just depends on what pieces you get in return.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because there's teams and there's people. There's teams that just don't like. For instance, the Browns had to let go Johnny Manziel. There's players that you can use as pieces.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Versus, you know, just letting them go and cutting them and sending them on as a free agent.
I'm a little surprised, though, because Chip Kelly, who was in Philadelphia and got released from his duties, is now the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. We all know that when Chip Kelly was at the University of Oregon, go Ducks, he excelled in that fast-powered offense, something that would be very suited for a Colin Kaepernick. I thought they kept Colin Kaepernick for that reason. But from what I've been hearing, they want to wash their hands of Colin Kaepernick. They just can't figure out how to do it financially. Absolutely. And this is a hole that the 49ers dug. This has nothing to do with Colin Kaepernick. This has nothing to do with his agent. This is all the ownership group of the San Francisco 49ers.
Well, essentially, though, Colin Kaepernick could still be a 49er when the season starts.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he could. If they don't trade him, he's going to be a 49er. They can't release him now.
And like you said, he can that Chip Kelly offense is suited for him. However, he has had the surgery on the left arm. He's had injury in his knee and I think the right throwing thumb. Mm-hmm. So is he at the level physically to be able to perform as everyone wanted him or thought he could perform?
Well, here's the question. Does he still have his legs? Because that's what we know him for. His arm is hurt. His hand's hurt. But he's a running quarterback.
I will tell you, though, the last few years, he hasn't been as much of a running quarterback as he had been when he first came into the NFL.
And that's coaching.
He's just... I think it's in the NFL, it's all about... All those players are great. Everybody's great. But if you don't find a system that so fits you, it doesn't matter how great you are, your talents are never going to be seen.
Do you think he would fit with Chip Kelly's offense? Do you think he would be a good fit?
I absolutely think that he would be a good fit. But I think it's a gamble. I think, and that's one of the things, is why do that? And when you can go out and draft a fresh quarterback, whoever you want, they're going to have a pretty decent amount. They're going to have a – what pick? Do they have the
– I'm not sure what number pick they have, there are so many quarterbacks. But
they got room
there.
Exactly. They got room to go out and get a fresh quarterback who is not injury prone, who is not known for just running the ball, who can sit back and throw the ball in the pocket. So it's just so many options out there. But honestly, I think that he's going to end up staying there, and I think they're still going to draft another quarterback, and he's going to get a chance to compete. And I think that's all you can ask for as an athlete is a chance and an opportunity to compete.
He should stay where the money is, because look, if he goes to Denver, he's going to make at least $5 million less. I think they wanted to give him $7 million or even less than that.
They're talking $4.5 million.
Okay, whoa. Where he's at in his career and as far as his ability to play physically, he needs to take the money that he, the guaranteed $12 million. Like that's because
I don't disagree.
Football is a sport where one down, you could be out, your career could be over.
Yeah.
So take the money. And it, because some people are saying, go to Denver. They've got the receiving weapons. They've got the great defense.
Yeah.
You'll have an opportunity there to excel and flourish and work for your next deal, your
Absolutely.
Next contract. But that's a whole season away.
They could restructure his deal, though. The deal is if he decides to say, hey, I'm willing to restructure, he could add in incentives that are all player and performance-based. So let's say he throws for 400 yards in a game. That's worth another $250,000. You know, he can add those incentives.
But I see what you're saying.
Where are those incentives coming from? Because the contract is already set.
No. Every contract has performance-based incentives.
They've got that written into his contract as it is already. The 12 mil is just the base guarantee.
No, but like with Denver,
it can be higher. Oh, with Denver?
With Denver, they can restructure it. If he stays in San Francisco, what is set is set.
Right. She's okay.
But if he decides to go to Denver, if they make this trade happen with him in Denver, Denver's going to say, we have to restructure your contract. Now, here's the deal. We'll offer you $4.5 million, but we know that you have potential, and we know what you've done before. So give us X, Y, and Z, and we could probably get you another $3 to $4 million this year.
Yeah,
but it's all based on you.
It won't be 11.9.
It won't be 11.9. But it's not that bad of a deal. But it's all about, do you believe in your ability to get back to that level?
So you're saying he should go to Denver?
I don't.
To be out of San Francisco.
I think he should stay there and get the money.
I would say get
because
the money.
Well, this is just me. I don't believe in Colin Kaepernick's talent.
I disagree with that. I think he should go to Denver. I think if you love the game and you want to play, if you're not happy somewhere, you're never going to be at your potential. If he's not happy there for whatever reasons, if it's the coaching, if it's the area, if it's the players, if it's the teammates, whatever it is, he's never going to be at his full potential because he's not happy. I think that's the whole reason why Johnny Manziel stayed in trouble, because he's in Cleveland. What the hell is there to do in Cleveland for a young 20? It's not a whole lot to do, but play football. He can't openly come out and say, I don't want to be here in Cleveland, because you won't be there in Cleveland and you might not be anywhere else. But I think that he needs to go to Denver. I think that they have a lot of weapons in place. I think that he would have a chance to start over fresh.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's what he needs. I think he needs to clear his mind. He needs to go somewhere fresh, start over, and get that opportunity. And then it's all on him.
But I was just thinking mathematically.
Those are all hypotheticals, because can you see – Colin Kaepernick going to Denver and having a breakout year.
Yes,
and getting
I can.
A better,
he's a. I think and, that he's a great quarterback, and I think that he's a great quarterback. I think he just has to find the system that fits him.
Is this because he's a new?
But that's not.
No, you cannot take away what he's done in the past.
But that's not in Denver, is it? The system that fits him is the Chip Kelly offense.
That's what I'm saying.
In
Chip Kelly's offense fits him.
Chip Kelly's
I don't
offense
have the
doesn't.
Faith,
Chip
I,
Kelly's
I don't have
offense
the...
doesn't fit the NFL. Okay, in general. Okay.
No, I agree with you there.
He's not going to win. He's never. I don't think that he's ever, ever, ever going to win a Super Bowl as an NFL coach.
He won't do that.
I will go and say that on the air, open, that he will never do that because his system doesn't work. Because what happens? You don't. You only have about. I don't know what the. You only can travel a certain amount of players on a team. It's a 55-man roster. You can only travel 53 men. You can only travel 53 men. For one, the office of linemen, you're putting them in a very, very bad situation. Because yes, these are some of the greatest athletes, but this is a run and gun, like, and you're going against some of the greatest athletes. You're asking these guys to run, go. And these are big 300-pound guys. I mean, yes, they're in shape, yes, they're ready, but physically moving, you're better when you're going straight. His offense goes lateral. Everything is lateral. It's all about finding a cut, finding a crease, then hitting up. Right. But you have to press this way before you can go downhill. The linemen have to slide, protect this way before they can go downhill.
So now you're getting too technical. You're over my head.
Well, okay. I'm just letting you know what
he won't win a championship. I don't trust Colin Kaepernick to have a great year in Denver and get a better contract. I think he stay where he is. You think he stay where he is?
Well,
great
I'm
things he should go.
Mathematically, I think he should stay where he is. He might get two seasons in Denver. And you're going to have subpar seasons. You made $4.5, that's $9 million. You could have stayed in San Francisco and just rode the bench and got $11.9
But if he believes in himself as
a
quarterback.
I know. I just
you
don't
may
believe
not
him.
Believe
oh, yeah.
him,
I
but
mean,
he has
believe
to believe in himself. If he believes in himself, what if he goes next year to Denver and kills and goes to the Super Bowl? Now he's put his.
You got
to
go
to
New England
put
first.
Himself, now you, but you can't take. Now he put himself in a position to make. Who knows how
Who
much
knows?
Money?
Who knows?
Well, let's be honest.
We don't know. It's,
the Denver Broncos are coming off a Super Bowl victory with a subpar Peyton Manning. So if Peyton Manning can succeed there, I do think that there is a chance. But
because
again,
no,
I don't trust.
That's Peyton Manning. Let's,
I don't
no,
trust
no.
Colin Kaepernick's no. mind as a quarterback, and I do not trust his arm because at
you
some
just
point
compare
he's,
Colin Kaepernick and
no,
Peyton
no,
Manning.
No, I'm comparing the situation. I'm comparing the situation. By no means am I comparing him to Peyton Manning. That would be asinine.
Well, let's
But I'm saying. If Colin Kaepernick could get in there, he might have some success because Peyton Manning had a subpar year for Peyton Manning, and it seemed to work out.
But you just said that he should stay and take
the
money.
No, I know. I'm trying to agree with Dre a little bit just to see his point. I don't think it's smart for him to do this.
Okay.
I don't think it's smart.
Dre
okay.
thinks so. We'll
well,
find
who,
out.
Who would you choose,
time.
Real quick, who would you choose? If you had to pick right now as a head coach, as a GM, would you pick RG3 or would you pick Colin Kaepernick? If you had to have one of them.
Well, I would take this is tough because RG3 basically didn't play last year, and really and truly neither did Colin Kaepernick. But I will
just give
say
us an answer.
Yeah, just pick.
Who Colin would you Kaepernick.
Pick? Colin Kaepernick.
Breonna Stewart.
That's actually the better answer.
All right, well, we're going to move on, man. We're going to move on.
Let's move on quickly.
Let's talk about somebody we can agree on, I'm sure. Absolutely. J.J. Watt, you know, three-time Defensive Player of the Year honors. I mean, this guy is amazing. 27-year-old guy. Recently, he was on, he had a radio interview on Houston Sports Radio 610. And they was asking him about playing and the season and his future. And his exact words was, it's not going to be terribly much longer. But I am going to play as long as I can, enjoy, and have fun. And my thing is, he's a 27-year-old. I'm 26 years old. He's a 27-year-old defensive end, one of the best in the game, hands down. But I absolutely, well, I want to know, what do you guys think about that? Do you think that it's smart for him to come out and say that so early in his career, especially after he just came off a great season? Or, well, I mean, what do you think about him saying that just openly in the media?
I don't think he said anything that was wrong. He didn't say he was going to take downs off or you know, limit his play on the field in order to preserve himself for after his career. J.J. Watt is not the type of guy. He's going to go hard 110% every down. The guy goes to some cabin in Wisconsin every year, right, to train, you know, out in the open, whatever he's doing out there, some kind of crazy Ironman stuff, training for the season, and it's paid off. The guy's got three Defensive Player of the Years in the last 4 years, and He's in his prime. He's playing through, you know, a strained ab, broken hands, and still the guy is the best defender in the league. So for him to say, "Hey, I want a life after football, and I probably won't play past," you know, he's 30. Not maybe I don't know. Well, his contract is to 2021, so he's got like 5 more years on that. So after that, I definitely don't think it's a bad idea to say, "Hey, I played hard, and I left when I after I played hard, and I wasn't going downhill." Because a lot of players, Peyton, Kobe, they wait to they love the game so much that they wait until like they're on their last two toes on their left foot and they can't play. So he's just saying, "Hey, I'm gonna go out, play 110%, and when it comes a time that's not fun anymore, then when it comes the time that I'm just physically unable to play to my standards of play, then I'm gonna, you know, hang it up." And the guy has a lot going for him. How many times have you seen him in a commercial during the football season? Every freaking commercial break, making all kind of endorsement dollars. And he's interested in movies, and he's got the charisma to do that after after his football playing career days are over. He can definitely go out and make a ton of money in endorsements and acting and any other endeavor he wants to do. He's got that personality and charisma that people like and are drawn to. And so, and he's the poster boy of the NFL as it is. So, I mean, good for him. He's riding high. He'll continue to do that, I think.
I'm just shocked. I'm literally just shocked that he would say that, because I'm always thinking, protect your next contract. So if people know that you're not truly invested in playing long term, you might miss out on money long term. That's always my thing. Don't ever give a timeline to your interests, because that can mess up your money long term.
Well, I mean, 5 years from now, he's still got 5 years on his contract. I think after
that
time.
But what if he gets hurt? Because in the NFL, if you get hurt, then they have the right to waive you. And then you have a great rehabilitation. And the next team that signs you, they already know you're not interested in playing long term. They might only sign you for a year. I mean, I'm always thinking hypotheticals with these contracts.
And honestly, and we'll move on, because we've been on this for a lot. But my thing is, I agree with what you're saying. I think that he's absolutely right to feel that way, because I mean, it's no secret that this guy gives it everything that he has every time he touches the field. But I think you still have to protect your brand, and you have to protect your name, and you have to protect your money. You know what I mean? Regardless. Now, he didn't have to say that in the open. You can think that all day, but he's 27. A 30-year-old player wouldn't have said something like that. He's just young, and he doesn't understand that that possibly could, you know,
could come back
deteriorate you, you know, down the line. But then again, I mean, he may already have it set in his mind that once his contract is over, I'm done. I've broken my hand. I've broken my knee. I've done all this stuff. I've given it all that I have. When this contract is over, I don't care what y'all offer me. I'm done. So I can still be happy and walk and pick my kids up and do all those things.
That's what I think. I think he's got a great team behind him, because they're obviously out getting him out there doing the stuff off the field, getting all the exposure off the field. And I think he's got a plan and effect in place. And he's just setting it up so after this contract is done, hey, he doesn't need any more NFL dollars. He's going to have everybody coming for him off the field as far as exposure and endorsement dollars are coming.
I'm sure he's got a Papa John's franchise in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah. He'll be fine. This guy will be fine.
He's good.
For sure. Speaking of Papas, big Papa, big Shaq, big Shaq Fu, Shaq Diesel. What other nicknames can we give him?
The Great Aristotle. What do they call him?
The Big Nasty. Did he ever go by the Big Nasty? No.
Some Diesel.
Shaq Diesel.
Was it Shaq Diesel?
He went by Shaq Diesel. He went by the Big Aristotle. He went by
the brother. Got a lot of names.
Got a lot of names.
Got a lot of nicknames.
And now he can add Hall of Famer to that name
list.
Name.
Very
not
deserving.
A bad
one.
Along with my favorite players, Allen Iverson. I rocked. Look, as much as unbelievable as it is, I rocked the cornrows back freshman year in college.
I'm trying to visualize it. Because
I'm trying to visualize it. Trying to visualize. Might have to Photoshop that in there. I did. I had the cornrows freshman year in college. As soon as I left home, I grew my hair out.
Can you send us a picture next time?
I'm gonna bring a picture.
We need to see this.
I should have brought that today.
You should have. That'd have been dope.
I did. Allen Iverson was my guy, I'm telling you. But yeah, him and Shaq. Go ahead, take it's your story.
Well, you know, this is very big news. So 2016 Hall of Fame class has been announced. So we got Shaq in there, Allen Iverson, Cheryl Swoops in there, Yao Ming, and Tom Izzo. I'm very impressed, though, because I was fearful that Allen Iverson was going to miss out, because Allen Iverson has suffered in the court of public opinion so much. So this is big for Allen Iverson.
I see what you're
going. Did you guys fear Allen Iverson never making the Hall of Fame?
No, not so much not making it, but just I was kind of surprised when his name got brought up first ballot, because I was thinking, like, because of his off-the-court issues and some of his antics, and he was kind of crucified for a minute in the court of public opinion for, you know, money troubles and things like that. I was like, we'll see. I was a little bit surprised.
And he's never cut the braids. I was like, they ain't gonna let him in the Hall of Fame with them braids.
No.
No. Yeah, that's none. Absolutely not. Yeah. You know, and the other thing that I'm really impressed with, Yao Ming.
Yeah.
Give me your thoughts on Yao Ming,
because
Yao
Ming, that's some bullshit, man.
And I feel the same way, because I don't think he put up numbers. But like Shaq, Yao Ming was polarizing. His presence in the NBA was polarizing. Who cares? He's done a lot for the NBA since he's retired.
I'm a Rockets fan. I'm from Houston. I grew up watching the Rockets. And
that's your dude. You got to rock with him, though.
You got to rock with Yao Ming.
I don't have to rock with anybody. Yeah,
that's Yao Ming, man.
No, I don't have to rock with anybody, because when he played for the Rockets, he didn't do anything. He was not. To be seven. To be eight. Whatever tall he is, he should have been one of the most dominant players. When you think dominant,
he played in the same time as Shaq.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You should be going toe to toe with Shaq.
Go to YouTube,
but he could never do it.
And see his first game. See his first game versus Shaq, and he put up a performance.
Nah, he didn't.
But typically, with big men, their bodies deteriorate much faster than everybody else's.
Yeah, and
but
I do agree with you. He didn't have the weight that Shaq had, though.
I do agree with you. I'm not sure.
He shouldn't be.
Statistically, if we can say Yao Ming is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
but
being
a 7'8" Chinese dude playing in the NBA, and what he brought to the NBA with that Chinese viewership, you got to give him the Hall of Fame ballot because of revenue. Alone.
Oh, yeah.
That's why you got to give Yao Ming.
And that played a part in it for sure.
It definitely did. Like, when I looked at it, I was scratching my head, like, okay, I'm not sure if he's put up the numbers, but when you really look at Yao Ming and what he brought to the NBA, you've got to give him credit. You've got to let him in there.
No.
I'm sorry.
I mean, hey, you can say whatever you want to say, but like I said, I'm from Houston. You gotta understand, like, I went to games.
Yeah,
what I mean?
He's not
he to be 7'8" or however tall he is, he was not as dominant as he should have been. And when I think of him, I think of Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard's the same thing. I don't know if it's a rock. Well, you can't say that, because the Elijah ones, the greats that came and dominated that position, but it's just depressing to see him so big, to see him. You would think that he would have been a lot more dominant, and the reason why he isn't is because he didn't have the body, the muscle mass, the strength that some of these African-American cats have, that's some of these big brothers that's out there in that gym. And I don't know.
He corn was just, fed.
Yeah, I don't know.
Playing
I just
with
don't
no
think
shoes.
That he deserves it.
No, look, I give him credit. I don't understand it numerically, but kudos to Yao Ming. But let's have a little bit of fun, you guys. Look,
I'm over here looking at Yao Ming's stats.
Yeah, look up his stats.
I don't think they're impressive. For his career.
I really don't think they're impressive. But let's go down the list of your favorite memories of Shaquille O'Neal and Allen Iverson.
Man, Allen Iverson has to be 2001, Game 1 of the NBA Finals versus the Lakers. Hit the crossover in the shot, and then stepped over Tyronn Lue.
That was the ultimate FU.
Yeah.
Because nobody thought they were going to win.
Like, yeah, because the Lakers had been undefeated until that point. Yeah. They were sweeping through the playoffs, and the Lakers are my team. And at that point, it was crazy, because Lakers have been my team. They still are. But Allen Iverson was my favorite player, so I had to see them go against each other. So I was like, I want Allen Iverson to have a good game, but the Lakers,
to win.
Allen came in there. 48 points that game.
He had the Sixers on his back throughout that whole playoffs, and came in there, hit 48, stepped over Tyronn Lue. That was like, yo, you are nothing to me.
I'm just going
to
step. Because he could have walked around him.
Yeah, no, but I'm dominating you by stepping over you.
Yeah, I think my favorite memory of Allen Iverson, and I don't remember this happening because I was so young, but it was his rookie season when he crossed over MJ.
Oh, yeah, in the All-Star game. Wasn't that an All-Star game they did?
No, it was a regular season game.
Are you sure?
When he crossed over Michael Jordan?
Was that regular season?
I believe that was regular season.
I mean, it could have been. It was 96.
Yeah, no, I don't know if he would have made the All-Star team his rookie year, but...
But regardless,
when he crossed over Michael Jordan, and I just remember my dad, like, I can't say this on air. Maybe I can. He said, oh, shit. He said, this young boy got it.
Yeah.
And I just remember my dad being so excited about this young player, and I'm like... Well, Michael Jordan standing there, and my dad was like, you don't understand what just happened. Now, in my adulthood, I mean, we've heard the Drake lyric, you know, you might have to make friends with Mike and AI him for your survival. That one play has basically penetrated pop culture. That's the play that I will forever remember Allen Iverson for.
I remember the exact move, the setup, the give him the quick cross setup, and then bring it back, and then give him another cross.
And remember,
then
he was wearing
the shot.
Yeah, and remember the sneakers he was wearing, the questions. Before the answers, he had the questions.
He had the questions.
I got a pair of those fresh in my closet right now. I haven't worn them. Fresh.
Oh, man.
But it was the retro version, not the original.
What are you waiting on?
But fresh. I don't know. We'll see. I don't want to rock them yet.
What about you? What did you? What
you know
was your
what?
Favorite
Honestly,
memory?
I can't really remember a particular moment. I do remember both of those, but I remember just watching. He had a top 10 crossover video on YouTube where he was making cats fall, and I remember watching that video, man, like almost every day, because we used to play on the blacktop outside. Yeah. I would literally watch his video and then go outside and hoop with my boys and try to imitate. And I wasn't even a basketball guy. To be honest, I've always kind of been a football cat.
Yeah.
But he used to make cats fall, and that's what I remembered him for. You know what I mean? It's just crossing people and making them fall.
And he, I mean, there were people doing crossovers before that. I mean, like Tim Hardaway comes to mind. But, but he gave it a whole different swag to it, like with this killer instinct with the cross, like, I'm gonna go out here and embarrass you.
He did.
And then shoot it in your face.
And I think the brains too made him just
practice. Oh, that, are we talking about practice?
Practice, man. What happened at practice?
No, we're talking about the game, not practice.
Man, we're talking about practice.
We're talking about practice?
We're talking about practice.
We're talking about practice.
I mean, not a game, but practice.
That definitely was one of the best press conferences of all time.
Most certainly, but that was just a bad look. When we're talking about Hall of Fame and going out and most memorable moments, I remember that, but I don't think he wants to be remembered for that, because that doesn't make sense. Any great player knows that in order to be great, you have to practice hard. You have to give everything. And Kobe says it, Michael Jordan says it, all the greats say it. LeBron says it, and they know that. So that's not a good memory for me.
It was one of the most entertaining. But kudos.
Right. Sure. Oh, for sure. For sure. Everybody knows about it.
Yeah.
And kudos to him. What are you going to say?
Kudos, I was going to say kudos to Shaq for giving us Kazam.
Yeah, Kazam. That's it right there. I mean,
we don't really need to go down the list of the great things that Shaq has done. As long as you know that Shaq was in Kazam, that's all you need to know.
And he gave my Lakers a few championships. I was happy about that.
So. He did.
Yeah.
All right.
So, we're going to go ahead and end on that note. The Lakers note with the championship. Let's go ahead
Rub it in my face.
Let's go ahead and end on that note. And make sure you guys tune in next week, where we bring you a whole new episode of Sports Roundup.
Can I give it to him? So go next week, we have Super Bowl winning linebacker Brandon Marshall coming to the show.
What?
I just want to let y'all know.
What?
He has confirmed he is coming 100%. It's going down. What? Brandon, let's get it, man. I'm excited about that.
If that's not a reason to tune in, then let it be this. I am Joshua Johnson. You can find me on social media at JJ the Talented.
And I am McCall Hall. You can find me on social media at So McCall Hall when sports and pop culture collide.
I am Andre Dean, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at I am Andre, and Snapchat him that.
Yeah, and once again, you can always find Black Hollywood Live online on Twitter, Instagram, at BHL Online. Find them on the website, blackhollywoodlive.com. And you can follow this show on Instagram at The Sports Weekly. It's been fun. We will see you next week.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.